Kathy Sheehan, Rensselaer County's official historian, joins us now to tell us about an 1840s portrait of Peter F. Baltimore the Rensselaer County Historical Society is trying to acquire. Kathy, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, where should we get started? This portrait of Peter F. Baltimore. Who was Peter F. Baltimore, and why does he matter to the Historical Society?
Well, I hope he matters to nationally. I hope he matters to everyone, because the one really good thing about living in this area is that we get to tell so much of the history of the national stories, some of the things that we may have read in our geography books and social studies books as kids, but it's the microcosmic story that tells the national story. And the Peter Baltimore story is a story of abolition. And Peter Baltimore was a free black man born in the late 1820s. And his father, Samuel Baltimore, we're still trying to research, was he an escaped slave? Was he also a free black man? And he was here in Troy around 1803 and establishes an oyster parlor and did all sorts of things, trying to establish schools for the freedom seekers after that happened, as well as the free black community that was established here in Troy. For maybe people that don't remember, is New York State was also a slaveholding state until 1827. So this area became such a center for the abolitionist movement. And Peter started becoming a barber. He went through he was in educated, and then worked with his older brother, and was a barber on First Street, right near what was the Troy House. And when we think about the freedom seekers, the first image that you see, a lot of images that you see are the people with little backpacks, kind of hiding in hay bales and things like that. Well, in this area, they were coming right up the Hudson River. And they were getting off at these packet boats and canal boats. And Peter Baltimore's barbershop was just a block away. So they would be sent over to Peter. And some of those people would need clothing and food and shelter.
And haircuts.
Well, yes, that too. And working their way up through the eventually working their way to Canada, where they were free. However, this area was so abolitionist friendly, many people stayed here. So Peter would get them jobs as maybe porters at the Troy House next door, maybe whitewashers, domestic help, coachmen. Some of them went to work on the docks, and they stayed. Right next door to his barbershop was the Athenaeum building. There's a parking lot there now. For those familiar with Troy, it's the area right across the street from Slide and Dirty on First Street. And in the Athenaeum were the offices of the Mental and Moral Improvement Society, which was run by a black man by the name of William Rich, who was his friend. There was also the home of the Troy Female African Benevolent Society. So all these organizations took place. And white people and persons of color were all helping with this. One of Peter's good friends was a white abolitionist lawyer named Martin Ingram Townsend. And he was just amazing trial lawyer and a great abolitionist movement person. And the other person that also helped was Pliny Moore. Pliny Moore was a white man who had a big grain elevator on the Hudson River. So those canal boats and packet boats that were harboring the slaves, he was helping them. So he'd get them over to Peter. So he's a really important person. Then you take that story. And the fact that it's very rare, first off, in the late 1840s or 1850s, which is about the period of this watercolor, to have watercolors that survive, to have a watercolor that survives of a black man who is extremely well-dressed and really it's an amazing picture. He's holding a pen. He's got paper, so he's literate. I mean, there's all these kind of clues that you do when you have portraits done. So to have this, it's so rare. And he's such an important part of the history of Troy and by extension, our national history of the abolitionist movement.
One thing.
Go ahead.
One thing that's really striking about that portrait is his smile. Mm-hmm. He has a very warm and congenial expression on his face, and it's not usually what we expect for 19th century portraiture, usually very like stern. Was it very uncommon to have a portrait done that way?
No, I don't think so. I think when you look at some portraits, you do see people that are more smiling. And we don't know who the artist is. It's not identified. We don't even know where it took place. It's possible it was done in Troy. There were certainly many artists that were here. It also could have been done in New York City. One of the things when Peter was a young man, he was befriended by the Reverend Henry Highland Garnett, who was the first black minister of the Liberty Street Presbyterian Church for Colored People. That was the actual name of the church. And he took him to New York City, and they went to abolitionist rallies. That's where he met Frederick Douglass, who then turns around and comes to Troy and speaks
right,
in an abolitionist rally.
After him, right?
He also, yes, when Peter Baltimore's son, Garnet Baltimore, was born, they named their son Garnet Douglas Baltimore, Garnet after Henry Highland Garnet, and the Douglas after Frederick Douglass. Of course, so that watercolor may have been done in New York City, but yes, it does. He has a little bit of a smile, not a huge one that we think of today, but certainly a little bit more. And it's really a beautiful portrait. And I was lucky to see it in person. We went to where it's on the Antiques Center, where it's on consignment, and so I got to look at it, and he actually, it's a very navy blue coat, the style and the tie. It's really a wonderful piece, and I can't wait for us to have it here, so everybody can see it.
How did you first learn about this portrait that was for sale, and how did you first learn about Peter Baltimore himself?
We knew about the watercolor from right after 9/11 we knew it went up for auction, and it just timing was not right, and we kind of missed it. And then it went into private hands, but then in the end of January, the owners of the gallery called our curator Stacy Draper and said, "This is up for sale." And what was interesting about this gallery is when they see something, they realize it's that important. They like to contact museums first to see if there's a way that you can get it before it goes to private hands again. Because if it did, it could be, you know, it could be sitting in someone's house and not everyone's ever going to get that. So we just are so grateful that they said, you know, we would like to let's give it, you get the first shot at it. And it's been an incredible community support that has come out to get this. Yeah.
It's $15,000,
which is a really good price, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I know, it seems like, oh my gosh. And it is. It's a huge amount of money. It is, I know Stacy said it's probably, and she's been there for 40 years, I've been there for 30. The two of us probably think it's probably the singular most important piece that we've received in our collection all these years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how can people contribute to help make sure that it makes its way home?
That it makes it. I know we're at a little over $11,000 right now, so we have about just about a month left to raise the rest of to get to 15. They can go to our website, which is www.rchsonline.org. And you can go to our Facebook page, Rensselaer County Historical Society, and there'll be a link. It says Bring Peter Home. And you can stop down and see us. We are located at 57 2nd Street in Troy. We're right between Congress and State Street. So kind of right between the music hall and the courthouse on the left-hand side. And you can bring a donation there.
For our listeners who might not really know the significance of the Historical Society and the role you play in this region, maybe you could just say one more sentence about your work.
Oh, thanks. We've been around as an organization since 1927. We collect the history of Rensselaer County. And that includes three-dimensional objects, as well as we have a huge research library, which it's very thrilled to say we've done lots of projects with the Sanctuary for Independent Media and particularly the summer program with the kids. We do a lot of going into schools and lectures, and people come in to do research. So we have everything from, you know, furniture and artifacts to amazing, you know, historic ledgers and business papers and church records. And, oh my gosh, we have over 10,000 images alone, photographic images alone in our collection. So,
wow. It is pretty impressive. I must say, I've seen it myself. Would acquiring this portrait of Baltimore, would it require special storage and handling in order just to keep it around?
Yeah, it does. Watercolors are very, very fragile, as you can imagine. It's not like, you know, oil paint on canvas. Watercolor is a paper by the very nature of the paper and the pigments of things. They are very fragile. Fortunately, we have a wonderful a climate-controlled painting storage area, so it will have a very good home. One of the things that we will do as soon as we get it is to have a paper conservator come and look at it. It's in very good shape. It had some work done in it at some point. So it's really amazing. It's in its original frame, but we'll certainly have her have a person, a conservator, come in and do an assessment for us as well.
Well, Kathy, thank you so much. I would love to talk more about the Historical Society, but we do need to push forward. So that's Kathy Sheehan from the Rensselaer County Historical Society telling us about the Historical Society's campaign to purchase a 1940s portrait of 1840s portrait of Peter Baltimore, whose barbershop was an important stop on the Underground Railroad. If you want to help Rensselaer County Historical Society purchase this rare portrait, you can donate online at rchsonline.org. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.